Hey guys, welcome to a very special edition of Somewhere in Vegas here on blogtalkradio.com and our new home over at Spreaker.com. I am Mark the Q, I'm your host. This past week, a very good friend of the show passed, one of our former guests, Brody Stevens. Brody was a very hilarious comedian, also an actor. You could have seen him in Hangover 1 and 2. He's a really funny guy. Star in Periscope as well, had his own show on Periscope for quite a long time, Steps with Brody. If you ever see that hashtag, then you know that's Brody's show. Brody was a really cool working comedian. He worked on a lot of shows as a warm-up act, including At Midnight on Comedy Central and Chelsea Lately on E!, where I got to see him for the first time live in... You know, I went to a couple of tapings. I got to see him two different times and did interact with him a little bit, but I'm pretty sure he doesn't remember me. From that, he may even remember from this interview, though. It's a sad thing, you know, just the fact that Brody was really dealing with some mental illness, and it was publicly stated. And he talks a little bit about that in the interview we conducted with him as well. It's just, you know, it's kind of sad to see, you know, kind of such a great talent. And he was really working on himself. He was really trying to make the best of the situation and always looked on the bright side of things and was finding things to be able to make his life a little bit easier and make people laugh and everything like that. So it was really sad for us to hear of his passing last week. So I figured I would give you guys a little insight into Brody. We talk a lot about his love of baseball, doing warm-up, and his love of comedy. A little bit into his mental illness as well. I mean, it's really great to be able to see kind of some insight into who Brody Stevens was. And if you guys have never knew who Brody Stevens was, this will give you a nice little slice of life into who Brody is and all that as well. So here is our interview with Brody Stevens from a few years ago. Welcome, Brody, to the show.
Thank you.
I actually got a chance to actually see you this summer when I went to see a couple of the Chelsea tapings in L.A., which is really, really cool. And that was right around the time the Lakers won, actually. I think he had an L.A. Laker, actually, in one of your audiences, one of the guests, actually, on the show.
Derek Fisher, probably.
Yeah, that was correct. Yep. Yeah, and
I remember all my guests.
I think you would. And I mean, you're a huge sports nut. You're a huge LA sports nut, right?
Well, I know sports. I grew up here in LA, and I played baseball in high school, and I played baseball in college. And I grew up, following the Lakers and the Dodgers, and it was just kind of, we had the two football teams. Now we have no teams, but UCLA, USC. So yeah, I like sports growing up, definitely.
And I mean, you're a huge, obviously a huge Dodger fan. I think you're a real Dodger fan. When I was in the audience, you quoted that you were like, you know, went to see a Dodgers game, I think, before you went to a taping or something like that. And they made it to the playoffs, but they didn't quite make it this year to the World Series.
Yeah, a little disappointing. It was a good season, a good run, but kind of like what it was last year. And last year was nice because they didn't expect to do it. This year they kind of expected to make the playoffs, but it was kind of a downer of an ending only because how it happened. And they could have, you know, they were good enough to make it to the World Series, so, and they didn't. But that happens, you know, you learn from it. But to lose twice the last 2 years in a championship game, it's kind of like take something out of you.
Well, I mean, yeah, then you pick yourself back up and you try again. That's what it's all about, you know. I mean, you know, you get your hearts broken every single year, but at one point you're going to end up winning it. Even the Boston Red Sox proved that. So how did you get into comedy?
Basically, people just said that I was kind of funny. Hey, Brody, you're funny. You should try comedy. Because I kind of like acting. I didn't mind the attention. You know, I knew that, you know, I played on a lot of different teams, summer teams, and every year I was on a different team. So, you know, guys say, hey, Brody, you're funny, but I never thought, like, be a comedian. But I didn't mind the attention when it was something, you know, like I was in control of. And later on, like later years in college, you know, comedy was, this was like 19, I was in college from 88 to 93. So the comedy boom was kind of like at its peak, I think, right then. And people were saying, hey, Brody, you should do comedy, this kind of thing. So that kind of like, the comedy boom, yeah, I got interested in comedy, but I really didn't start pursuing comedy until after the boom. But I would say, yeah, it happened after college. I never did any comedy in college other than I took an acting class at Arizona State. It was kind of interesting. I took two acting classes, and that kind of got lit a fire a little bit, like, oh, I like this. And I wasn't doing comedy. I mean, I did some comedic pieces in there, and a few girls, and it was something I liked, actually. And I thought, I wouldn't mind doing this. So I knew that another few months of baseball. And then after that, I said, and guys would say, hey, you should try some comedy. I felt like comedy, acting, all right. And I knew it would be a long road, but I figured I'd handle it like I had my baseball career. So that's when I started, in 94, up in Seattle. But after college, I would definitely say playing baseball and being on these college baseball, especially, kind of like, you know, made me tougher, kind of like defined who I was in terms of like that foundation.
What were your influences, comic influences?
My comic influences were probably, you know, I was into wrestling. I always thought that was funny. I liked Benny Hill. I wasn't necessarily a fan of stand-up comedy. It's not like I grew up watching Saturday Night Live or I had all of, you know, Richard Pryor albums and all that sort of thing. My dad was funny. I like Gary Shandling. I liked Super Dave Osborne, funny stuff like that. And like I said, wrestling was kind of, I got a kick out of that. So I would say that sort of stuff. But comedians, you know, self-deprecating stuff, Gary Shandling. But for me, it was like, I really like Beavis and Butthead. I got a kick out of wrestling. So I like, those are like, just try to implement that sort of stuff. I would feel like watching too much comedy. I mean, I guess if you watch a lot of different comedians, you could pick up, you know, different skills by watching so many different comedians. There's some comedians, you know, that watch too many of the same comedians. You know, they're influenced too much by a certain comedian. You know, you watch that guy too much. But if you're watching a lot of different comedy, you know, maybe you'll pick up something here, something there, something here. I just feel like I didn't want to watch too much stand up necessarily, just because, you know, sometimes that stuff rubs off on you. I didn't want like those thoughts to enter my head. I feel like everything I do on stage, I want to be kind of like from me. You know, I don't want it to feel like, oh, I got that idea from that guy, or I got it from watching him. So it's kind of a weird thing, but I got to get over it. I don't think it's a good thing, because, you know, you want to be able to watch your friends and stuff. It's like listening to radio, like Howard Stern. I had a cable access show in Seattle for 3 years. We did about 175 live TV shows in Seattle. Kind of where I cut my teeth in terms of being like this Brody persona. And, you know, it's like Howard Stern was popular back then. He was on cable TV. I think it was on E. And I just felt like he was funny. Howard Stern's funny. But if you watch too much of it, that stuff rubs off on you. So it's like sometimes if I like something a lot, I kind of like have to cut myself away from it. You know, I've heard comedians talk about, like, oh, they're a fan of Dave Attell. So you watch everything Dave Attell, and you end up sounding like Dave Attell or Jim Gaffigan or Zach Galifianakis or even me. And your guys say, Brody, I can't watch you. They start sounding like you. So it's kind of like it's a double-edged sword. Like they like you, but certain comedians know they watch, you know, too much of the same thing for a long period of time, you pick up, you start sounding like that guy.
I wanted to ask you, well, since you're a huge wrestling fan, who was your favorite wrestler growing up?
You know, I liked Rowdy Roddy Piper. I liked Mean Gene Okerlund in terms of his announcing. I liked, you know, the Sergeant Slaughters. I went to the whole Cindy Lauper War to Settle the Score stuff with, you know, Hulk Hogan and the Iron Sheik. Just a whole theater of wrestling and them being on the mic and doing the, you know, brother, let me tell you, it's like, I got a kick out of that stuff. Not all the time, you know.
Well,
I'd watch a little bit of that stuff on, like, TBS wrestling, the stuff in the studio, but mostly WWF.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan, and I know Piper's going to be on Raw next week, which is really, really exciting. So Roddy Piper's going to be back in the ring talking, and he always kind of captivated a lot of people, and you know he spoke his mind when he was in the ring, and that made him such a great person. I was a Ric Flair fan growing up, so I was like, I was totally into Ric Flair and all that too, and I used to be a Hulkamaniac, and then I turned to a Flair fan after like Royal Rumble 92, so. I mean, it's a great kind of thing. I mean, it's very rare for somebody to say that, but they do have, you know, kind of a persona in the ring, and you have a persona on stage anywhere, you know, even in comedy, you have that kind of persona that you are on stage and you speak your mind and they have an ability to connect with the audience, and that same thing with comedians. They have to have an ability to be able to connect with the audience. So it is a kind of an interesting kind of parallel.
Definitely. It's like, well, I also like Gorilla Monsoon. I get a kick out of him, listening to him do announcing. Jesse the Body Ventura. Those guys are great. Yeah, it's, you got to have a character. You got to connect with the people. Those wrestling fans, you know, as crazy as they are, they're passionate. They're very, you know, it's about making that connection. I try to do that with my comedy, for sure. I just know that people like feeling like they're part of something. So it's basic skills. It's like, they want to feel special. People want to, you know, it's positive energy. I learned that actually from my friend Tana, my Samoan comedy partner up in Seattle. And he taught me just about being happy. It's funny to be happy, to get excited about the little things. Like, instead of being a cool guy, comedy's not cool. Comedy is about goofy and simple, almost, and liking, you know, be excited about, I mean, excited about the little things. That was my angle. Not cursing, being happy, being in the moment. Letting the audience in on everything. Don't let them feel like they're not a part of the show. There's nothing like that kind of that tension that releases it. And it's just like being a goofball, being you know, you don't want to take yourself too seriously. So I mean, I work hard. I just think like when I did comedy up in Seattle, I'm a Jewish guy. You know, you get Jewish guys are very like, you know, they're known in comedy. But I worked with the Samoan guy. It's like, how many Jews work with Samoans? So I got that Samoan island energy, and I kind of combined it with my Jewishness. And I don't perform with Tana anymore, but I kind of carry that on to my day. It's like, it really is like people do influence you, and I don't know. I'm kind of rambling here. Help me out here.
Okay. The next question I have is the how did you get involved with Chelsea lately? How did you get the gig as the kind of the opening warm-up comedian?
Well, I've done a lot of audience warm-up. I worked at Fox Sports, Best Damn Sports Show, for over 1,200 shows. I've done The Man Show. I've done Little Britain. I've done Little Pilots. I've done comedy tapings. I've done variety shows. I've done award shows. So basically, over the years, since 2001, I'll say, people know that I've done warm-up. So I had that kind of reputation. And with Chelsea, I'd been working on a Best Damn Sports Show, and they kind of got rid of the audience. So I had about maybe a couple months, 3 months, where I wasn't really working consistently on any show. Just kind of taking it easy between gigs. And one of the stage managers, Matt Marina, who works at Chelsea, he had worked over at Best Damn Sports Show. So I would see him in the airport, actually, up in Las Vegas, because he would be working on UFC events, and I was working on a poker show for Fox Sports. So I'd see him, and he'd go, "Hey, Brody, I got to get you into Chelsea. We're working down. We got to try and get you in there." I go, "Okay, Matt, you know, I'm like, got some time." So I would see Matt in the airport in Las Vegas. He'd be doing a UFC. I'd be doing a poker show. And so they contacted me. They gave me some dates, and I kind of did it. I got it. I understood what. And I've known Chelsea for a long time. Like, she was surprised that I actually took the gig. She was thinking like I was doing some other stuff. So, you know, I like doing warm up. It's a hard job, and it's a grind. And I mean, the hours are pretty good in terms of like the actual work. But I mean, it's a lot of preparation, and there's mental preparation and physical, and it takes a lot of energy out of you. So, yeah, it's an hour of work, possibly, but there's a price to be paid for it. But I got into that basically just from doing warm-up. That's, you know, work gets work. I don't seek out work. People kind of contact me. And warm-up's a weird thing. You don't want to be known as the warm-up guy or a, you know, that all I do. You know, there's guys that do the big sitcoms, and they're a juggler, they're a hypnotist, they do all that sort of thing, and they're great, and they really probably connect with the church groups and the audiences and the middle America groups. I have a little more of an edge, a little more of a in-the-moment comedy-based energy, which works good on talk shows, I think. So a sitcom, where you got to do things over and over and over again, and you got these groups, and they're there, and they're stuck. It's like, you got to get them to dance, and you're throwing out candy, and this. I'm not great at that necessarily. I'm good at the hour-long show, half-hour show, rock this thing out, crank it, respectable laughs, have the crowd be in a moment, don't just be a body. I can really, I mean, I can look at an audience and really tell where they're from, what their political affiliations are. You know, you look at their body language. So my whole thing is here, especially at Chelsea, because we have so many comedians on the show. It's not like we're just, oh, we have an actor and a music guest. We have comedians, and they're doing comedy. It's not stand-up, but they're doing the round table. So I really owe it to the comedians, and I owe it to comedy to, like, give them an audience that isn't bullshitting them. Because I've done stand-up on several TV shows, and there's nothing worse than a paid audience, these frickin' fake audiences. And I'm not saying we get that at Chelsea. We don't. We get real audiences at Chelsea. But you want them to be stand-up ready, you know? Chelsea, that's the one thing. The audience is really good. They're there to see Chelsea. They're there to see Chewy. They're there to see the round table. But you got to push them. You got to push it. And me as a comedian and connecting with the comedians and also being on the show, Chelsea is a comedian as well. It's like I really want to make it real and not just be hooting and hollering and fake clap and fake laugh. It's like I would say to the audience, we don't need to fake it. We need to find the funny and be supportive, but these are talented people. So we don't need to patronize them and be phony. So let's find the funny, be supportive, sound like a good audience, and work together. So that's kind of like my mantra there. And I got a good gig. I'm lucky. And they let me do my own thing. Like, they pretty much let me come in there, do my job, and I stayed throughout the whole taping and through the end. And it's been a good gig. Chelsea's been nothing but, you know, great things to say.
I attest to the fact that, you know, that it's not a paid audience, that everybody's excited to be there. I mean, I went to two tapings back-to-back, and they had to turn people away. And, you know, if they're so excited to be out, being able to be there and be in that audience, I mean, it's really great. I kind of wish that there was, like, at least a couple more rows in there, because I think that, you know, they could fill them easily. But but I wanted to, well, can you tell us your first impressions of Chelsea when you first met her?
Good comedian. She's funny, you know. She's kind of like, she's like one of the guys type of thing. And she's done, you know, I've seen her, we've done open mics together. We were doing, you know, small, dumpy rooms and all that sort of thing. So that's why I think she gets respect, because she's done those rooms. She's put her time in doing the crappy one-nighters or the little L.A. showcase rooms. So, I mean, I didn't do tons of shows with Chelsea, but I did enough to where, you know, I knew her and I got what she did. And she kind of went on to do her own thing, but you got to have nothing but respect, because, you know, stand-up comedy is, you know, it's a tough thing.
Well, her career progressed. Yeah, her career progressed, you know, really, 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 really nicely the way it went. And she did earn her spot, you know, and it's great. And I'm happy that the show is doing so, so well. I wanted to ask you also about the Hangover. You got a small little role in Hangover. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got that?
The Hangover I basically got from doing comedy, stand-up comedy. Todd Phillips, the director, was a fan of my comedy. He would see me do stand-up around L.A., mostly shows with Zach Galifianakis, one of the stars of the movie. I was friendly with Zach. So Zach would do shows, and I'd host the show, or I would do a spot, and we would end up riffing off each other during the show. So I got to be highlighted a lot during Zach's shows. So Todd was out, you know, looking for funny people, I guess, maybe, or just checking out the LA scene, and this is before the Hangover and all that. And I knew he liked my comedy. Like, people said, hey, Brody's, Todd thinks you're funny. So, and they wanted to actually meet with me, have a meeting, just a general meeting, and see what's going on, any ideas, which I didn't have. But at that point, I knew that Todd liked me, so kind of kept doing my own thing, doing comedy. I was probably, maybe I was working at Chelsea then. I might have still been at Best. I think I was probably at Chelsea still at that point. So just kept doing it, and, you know, they contacted me because I knew they were doing this movie. I knew Zach was in the movie. So I got a call, and they asked me to audition for The Hangover. So I went to Warner Brothers, and I auditioned. And I met Todd before, like once maybe or twice, so I kind of knew him, but not really. And he was there in on the audition, and I read for one of the henchmen. So I read for a henchman part. And I read it for it okay. I studied up on it as much as I could, and I thought I did pretty good on it. And he was telling me in the middle of the interview, he says, nice job, he goes, I really want to put you in this movie. He says, let me have you read this other part, so with the doctor part. So he actually gave me some time to prepare for it, like 15, 20 minutes. He had me work with the casting girl there. So he told me right before, he said, I want to put you in this movie. He thinks I'm funny, which I knew. So this is being myself. And then I did the, I mean, I'm not a great actor yet. I'm still, believe me, I've got a lot more to develop. And, you know, I'm just starting if I even continue to do this thing. So anyway, I go in there and I do the second round of the audition there, the doctor part. And it was okay. And then Todd said, thanks, you know, everything was cool. And I left feeling all right, like I did, you know, I did all right. But he wasn't as excited when I left as he was in the middle. So I kind of felt, you never know. Because I've done these auditions before. But it's not that I auditioned that much, only because I do a lot of warm-up. That's one sacrifice you give up, is auditioning. Because the warm-up, you can't be late. You got to be funny. You got to, like, be put together, and if you're auditioning and you're running around town and you're stressed out, it's like, can't do that. So it's like I give it up auditioning. So, but certain auditions I'll do. So The Hangover movie, I'll do it. So I did the doctor part, and I left, and then they called me like a week later, and they offered me a totally different part. They offered me the cop. So that was cool. So they offered me that cop role, and the rest, as they say, is history.
I think there's rumors that there is going to be a sequel, and do you think you're going to be a part of that, do you think? Or have you said anything yet?
I think the sequel right now technically is on hold, but that doesn't mean anything. Todd's next movie, I'm doing that. I'm in that. It's called Due Date. It's a road trip movie. Zach is in it, Robert Downey Jr., Jimmy Fox. Todd Phillips is directing. I play a limousine driver. It's a small part, but I shoot that next week. In fact, they may be in Vegas right now as we're doing this interview, or in Grand Canyon, right around there. It's a road trip movie. It's called Due Date, so they're shooting cross-country, and I play a limousine driver. So that's the next one. That's not the sequel, but it's a Todd Phillips movie.
Are they expecting that to be out next summer, or probably the following summer?
Yeah. It'll be like what The Hangover was. I mean, obviously not as... I mean, it's probably not going to make as much money. I mean, The Hangover, you know, was an amazing once-in-a-lifetime thing in terms of box office and all that.
Well, that's awesome. And you had mentioned earlier about working on The Man Show. That must have been a lot of fun. I love that show.
Yeah, I enjoyed The Man Show. I worked the final season with Joe Rogan and Doug Stanhope. I didn't work the Kimmel and Parola years, but I worked that final year. And that was another thing that, you know, Joe Rogan liked my stand-up, Doug Stanhope liked my stand-up. And I was doing a warm-up at that point at Best Damn Sports Show. So they said, hey, look, they like my stand-up. They like me. Boom. And they knew that I could do warm-up. So that's how I got that gig. And that was about 24 shows we did, so for a few months. And that was kind of fun. Cute girls, obviously, and big, crazy crowds. And, you know, this year, it only was that one final season. But it was a good experience. And I got to... You know, the thing is, you just get to meet all these people at the Comedy Central show. So you work on that show, Comedy Central. Then you work another show, Comedy Central. And that's how you meet people. You just keep doing it. As a comedian, you just, like, work on being funny. Audience warm up, do a good job. Be funny, do a good job. And show up on time, add to the show, like, help out. Don't be in the way, but, you know, you can keep working. That's what I always tell the guys, just, like, be funny. Be funny. And be patient.
That brings me to a question I ask a lot of my comedians. Have you ever bombed? And if you have you learned from the experience?
Well, yeah, I've had bad sets. I mean, I haven't really bombed so much lately in the last few years, I would say. But I've definitely had sets that weren't as fun, or I had moments in the set. Yeah, I mean, you learn from it. You learn from anywhere from your preparation ahead of time. You know, sometimes you don't have a great set. And you know what? You know why? I didn't eat before. That's why. Oh, I didn't have a great set. You know why? You started off being aggressive. Oh, I had a bad set. You know why? Oh, I didn't do that joke. So, you know, taping your sets is very important, I think. You know, I've gotten away from it, but actually I'm starting to tape my sets again more. So definitely learn from that. Yeah, you learn from bad, you know, you learn from bad moments. I definitely take elements from doing the audience warm-up. I mean, I have to be careful. You can't really bomb. You can do, well, actually you can bomb. You don't want to be too funny. That's the thing with audience warm-up. You don't want to be too funny. It's not your show. They're not there to see the audience warm-up guy. They're there to see the rest of the show in their heads. But you obviously you have pride and you're human. You want to get laughs. So you got to find that balance to where that's why I'm able to work on these different audience shows, these different shows, or where I'm an alternative guy. I won't do that show, or I'm a sports guy. I won't do an alternative show, or I'm an alternative guy. I won't do a black show. It's like if you really own who you are and able to be who you are, you can work these different shows and adjust. You know, it's like I work at Chelsea. I do a good job there. She's obviously the funny one. She's the one to get the attention of the other guys on the show. But I walk out of there knowing that the audience thinks I'm funny, and I did my job, and I satisfied that muscle. Now, did I rock and crush and kill? No, it's not my job. But I know I could. So that's how I'm able to, like, it's not like, oh, I'm funnier than this. I should be on this show. You can't go in with that attitude when you work on these shows. Oh, I should be on camera. Well, you're not. You know, it's like, that will all happen. Look, I'm doing movies now. That's what I tell people. I'm doing movies just by being funny, by being patient, not complaining, you know. I'll complain when it's comedy-related about stuff, but I won't complain about, oh, why are you keeping us here so late? Why are you doing that? Oh, do I get it? You know, it's like, that's where baseball comes into play. I'll grind. I mean, I've worked, like I said, 1,600 TV shows altogether. That's a grind. That's like, you know, baseball season. Way more than that. But that's where it teaches you that discipline. You got to be a machine, a robot. These shows just don't run on their own. You got to actually bring something to it. So I'm lucky I got a gig. Believe me. I'm lucky, thankful. Am I rambling or am I hitting the right points?
No, you're making the right points at all, and the idea that, you know, you work with a lot of people along the line, and you never know who you're going to talk to that's going to help you out in your career, or, you know,
you know somebody
that knows somebody, you know? So it's always nice to keep something positive and to be able to not be an asshole to everybody and to be able to, you know, generate that positive feeling, like, oh, this guy is a great guy, you know? I saw him in a club, or it's a friend of a friend, and I saw him in a club, comedy club, he sounds pretty funny. You know, those opportunities come by to you. So, you know, keep that positive energy going and work your butt off and you can make it.
Yeah, that's what I say to the guys. It's like it might take 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years. May not ever happen. But you don't go in, as a comedian, you don't go in trying to be on TV or trying to make money or trying to get that house or trying to make that movie. You're just trying to be funny. That's what I say. See where that takes you.
Exactly, and I wanted to mention that you guys can, if you guys ever go to a Chelsea taping, Brady's a warm-up guy, he's a really funny guy as well, and the Hangover's coming out December the 4th, and this new movie, Due Date, you said it's been coming out this coming summer, right?
Yeah, it should be like when the Hangover came out in June, this will probably be a June release, yeah. So I got that coming up.
Yeah, is there any other dates that you're going to be doing outside of Chelsea?
Nothing on the books right now, you know. That's another thing. People ask me to do, I get asked to do some shows here and there. But I'm, you know, I'm from Los Angeles. I grew up out here. And, you know, my friend is a coach of the Dodgers. I'm able to do Dodger functions. And then my mother lives out in Palm Springs. And I like to go out there, try to go out there once a week. So, to be honest, like the last year or two, and maybe even the next couple, 3 years down the road, I just kind of like doing the warm-up, keeping me in town, and, you know, like doing family stuff. But I wouldn't mind eventually, yeah, going out on tour and really, like, going for it. But I think that's not going to happen. If it does, then for another year or two. I just have a unique situation. I think being here from Los Angeles, and having the roots that I have here in Los Angeles, that's why I'm able to do warm up and do these things and, you know, put certain things on hold because I don't live my life out here. It's like a lot of comedians, they're not from here. So they come here and they, you know, they have other things going on elsewhere. It's like, this is my where everything is for me. And then, like I said, I got family stuff I like to, you know, be involved with. So to have that energy wanting to be away and travel and all that, I'm kind of not into that right now at this point. I want to, but I don't see it right now. If you ask me, like, you want to go on the road, you want to do all this, it's like I'm just not at that place right now.
I wanted to mention, you're on Facebook. Are you on Twitter at all?
I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. I pop up here and there. I did Daniel Tosh's show last week, Tosh.0. It's on Comedy Central. I got BrodyStevens.com and I got a Tumblr account, Stephen Brody Stevens at Tumblr. And I got a whole other bunch of videos that I need to upload and get on the internet that aren't out there. So maybe I'll be focusing on that in the next month or two, get some more videos.
Yeah, what's your Twitter?
Brody is me friend.
Okay, and I remember the Tosh.0, the one with I remember the wrestling one. That was absolutely brilliant, by the way. So it was actually cool.
Oh yeah,
cool.
Hey, wow.
And,
yeah, that's an example of the wrestling stuff. So that was kind of fun. Definitely
a lot of fun. Thanks a lot, Brody, for being on the show.
All right, you do a good job. You got a good voice, so I appreciate it. And you let me do my thing.
No problem, Brody. Thanks a lot.
All right, Mark.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.